welcome back to TYT. Anna Kasparian and Brett Ehrlich with you.
Special welcome back to this sweater. Which I wore, I think, for 700 days in a row on the show.
It felt like it, yes.
I did not know I was going to be on the show until I was driving into work for something else. And so I was like, I wasn't prepared to look a certain amount of nice. And so I called in my good buddy, the sweater. And the sweater's here to make everybody's day just a little nicer.
I'm actually thinking about buying like drawers to put under my desk that have clothes in them, clothes and makeup. That way, on hectic days, I can just show up and I can get ready here.
That's what Don Draper did.
Really?
Yeah, there's scenes in Mad Men where he just opens his like new shirt, didn't go home.
Right.
You know, Betty, or I don't know, that's all I remember from Mad Men is her
smart
name.
Idea.
Catch up on your clothes while you're in the middle of the day and you got to go on air, you'd be screwed.
That is far more likely for me. Less likely I'd have an all-nighter, more likely there would be a huge food mishap.
All right, I want to very quickly make a few announcements before we get to the stories. We have some explosive updates for you, so stick around for that. Explosive. Okay, but okay, here's a little inside baseball. Before every live show, Jen Roofer, who is amazing. She comes and she gives me a one sheeter that has announcements that I'm supposed to read to you guys. And it's always funny to me because we never read them verbatim. But I want to be a little Trumpian today and do what Trump would do, okay? Just to make it a little more interesting. All right, promotion. Are you a member? You know, because we have membership here at TYT, and it's wonderful membership. We have the best members. We do the best show for our members. So if you want to be a member, you know, all you have to do is you go to the internets and go to tytnetwork.com/join. I feel like that still sounded too smart.
Too many definite and indefinite articles.
Yeah.
Big going. Go to TYT. There, celebrate us. Together. When Trump speaks, it's great. It's like you're getting the DVD with the commentary on, and he's doing both. Because he's reading the copy, he'll be like, Minneapolis police fatally shot. Terrible what they did. Terrible. That's his commentary. And then he goes back to the teleprompter.
He does say terrible.
And then stops and goes, this is true. Like, of course, well, it might not be true, but it's definitely written for you to say.
Exactly. All right, and we do have the first free month of membership available. This is a temporary promotion we're doing. So if you buy membership or if you would like to try this free month of membership, all you do is use the code FREETYT at checkout. Also, for the post game today, it will be Brett, JR, you're joining us as well. And of course, I'll be here. And we're going to discuss GNC horror stories.
Just nutrition supplements, healthy lifestyles.
You don't want to miss it. It's going to be explosive. Also, there will be TYT Old School tonight. And finally, Aggressive Progressives is canceled this week. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, check out previous episodes. If you are a member, of course, we archive everything for you guys. All right, let's get to the news. We begin with a few updates on stories that we reported on earlier this week. An investigation into the shooting and the death of an Australian woman by the name of Justine Damond in Minneapolis has essentially turned up some indication as to why a cop opened fire, which led to her death. Investigators probing the death said that the officers were, quote, startled by a loud sound near their patrol car right before the shooting. So for those of you who might have missed this story earlier this week, the shooting occurred after Justine Damond had called the cops to report a possible sexual assault near her home, in the alleyway near her home. When the cops arrived, she went to go talk to them. And when she did so, allegedly they heard some noise that startled them. And the cop in the passenger side of the vehicle, Mohammed Noor, decided to open fire. And keep in mind that Justine Damond was speaking to the cop on the driver's side. So according to reports, Noor opened fire and shot through the driver's side door. And one shot hit her abdomen and tragically killed her. The officer who was driving the patrol car told investigators that right after the loud noise, Damond approached the car, on his side, the officer who was in the passenger seat then fatally shot Damon through the driver's side window. Here's the thing, if you are a cop, if you are that easily startled, you should maybe reconsider being a cop,
yes.
Right? If you hear a noise and your first, you know, idea is to open fire, you're not the right person to be a cop. Now, Noor is a rookie cop. He apparently got hired back in 2015. However, there were a number of complaints filed against him in just that short period of time. And I'll get to those details in just a second. But Brett, jump in.
Right. There's a lot of things that you start asking yourself when something like this happens. Like, aren't there body cams, details? I don't know if you reported on in previous days. Those body cams hadn't been activated. According to the police chief, and different sources within the department, there are protocol that define when the body cam and then also the dash cam get activated. Dash cam is more automated, like when you flip on your siren, that starts being activated. But it's the way the protocol is now, it's on the police officers to, when they feel like they're going to be in danger and need to use force, then flip on the body cam on themselves, mm-hmm. and then go take the action. Or if it all happens so fast, once it's safe, they're supposed to turn it back on. These seem like red flags for me. This seems mm-hmm. like we need to rethink the process behind all of this. Because I seldom, as someone, like I get it, and the benefit of the doubt, I want the camera to be on to vindicate myself because I feel confident in whatever motivations I might have and how they might lead to different activities. But then again, you're just saying, like, if I want those cameras to be on all the time, at all times.
Yes.
It should be possible to document it. That shouldn't change the story of the cop who wants it to be on, who wants to flick it on to vindicate themselves. But I want to go around the person who might be keeping something secret, who wouldn't want something documented. And why leave it up to chance? Why can't we? I know that, like, hey Siri, I can say, and if I wasn't in airplane mode because I'm such a conscientious host, it has been listening to me. And it would turn off. This even said, Siri not available. There's ways to make it pre-tape and start pre-recording. And then afterwards, activate it and make sure you save the time before. So if like battery life and space are an issue, those are things that you can overcome. But there are a lot of procedural issues that come up in question here. Especially because I don't know what answers we're going to get, because those answers would ostensibly come from some kind of documentation through videotape, mm-hmm. which we didn't have because it wasn't on.
Right. And what I find interesting is that they are supposed to have, if they're on duty, they are supposed to have their cameras on. And this was a policy that was implemented, you know, after all these controversial shootings took place in Minneapolis. But what I find fascinating is that, okay, you might make the argument that one cop forgot to turn on his body cam. But we're talking about two cops, neither one of them had their body cam on. And then there was no footage from the dash cam. So essentially, there's no evidence of what really occurred. Excuse me. And so people are understandably frustrated at the lack of transparency, the lack of details regarding what happened, and an innocent, nonviolent, loving, passionate, great person died that night after they made the mistake of calling cops to report a possible sexual assault in the alleyway.
Yeah.
And that's look, not only did someone lose their life, but think about what kind of messaging this sends to people who are already a little, you know, skeptical about cops. Like, are you gonna trust cops? Look, I mean, this is a personal anecdote, so you know, take it with a grain of salt, because I don't know if I represent a huge population of people. But I remember 2 years ago, there was a homeless woman who very clearly had mental health issues right outside my bedroom window. And she was completely naked. She was screaming out off the top of her lungs. She found like a hose across the street from where we were living and just started like hosing herself off. She's completely naked and she's screaming. And so I didn't know what to do when I thought about calling the cops. And then I realized, no, I am not gonna call the cops. I don't know how they're gonna handle this situation. And that's That's coming from me, and I'm obviously from a place of privilege, right? I didn't grow up fearing the cops. I didn't worry about retaliation from cops or any type of harassment from them. But you hear about stories like this, and it makes you wonder or question whether or not, you know, calling them is the best solution for an issue like that.
I get that reticence, and again, there's also things like when the cops come, if they're dealing with that kind of a situation day in, day out. There's
right.
correlations that I've seen where if like cops respond to a call like a suicide on one day, the next day they're more likely to have a higher level response disproportionate to what's going on. So there's a lot that I just feel like we keep hearing and keeps getting said. In this situation, I reiterate all those things. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get into like, I definitely hear what you say about like the police officer who, how could you be rattled? Because ostensibly, we have situations in place where once you get rattled, dash cam's on, everything
yeah.
going on.
Right.
How are you that easily startled? And a loud noise, and the fact that it takes days for this kind of information to come out, and now the only information that we have is coming from within, from that police officer. Luckily, it seems that the chief of police is ordering an independent investigation, because that's another thing that we hear so often in these kinds of, in situations where there's police have seemed to have shot someone who didn't do anything.
Right. And you know, just to be clear, the officer who opened fire, Mohammed Noor, is refusing to talk to investigators, and investigators can't compel him or force him to speak. However, Matthew Harity, who is the other cop that was present during that encounter, he was the driver of the patrol car. He is speaking to authorities, and he's the one who released the statement regarding the startling noise.
Right.
And so we'll see how this case plays out, but people are understandably upset, and there needs to be a lot done to reform what we're seeing with police departments throughout the country. By the way, one other quick thing I wanted to mention is Noor has had a history of complaints, even though he was hired back in 2015. He's only been a cop for a short period of time. Apparently, he joined the police force to serve. Oh, hold on, sorry about that. He currently has 3 complaints filed against him with the city's Office of Police Conduct Review, 2 of which are still open. The other was apparently somehow adjudicated, but we don't know the details of those complaints. They aren't releasing details about that. And we also know that he's facing a lawsuit by a woman who says that she was treated poorly by him.
Right.
All I'm saying, man, if you see a pattern, this happens in whatever case it is, many times there's patterns of how cops have previous either complaints or situations or questionable encounters in their record.
Right.
And there's a constant, oh, we'll just move on. Or you brought up the thing where maybe sometimes they're rattled because the day before they saw something traumatic. All of these things you can take into account, and it comes back to the top. Is this the only profession where the top doesn't have any responsibility? You know, human beings may get rattled, and you have cops that have guns and have people's lives in their hands. If that's the case, maybe don't have them work that next day.
Right.
Or maybe have them on some other kind of beat the next day. Maybe it's office jobs for a while until you calm your ass down. Whatever the problem may be, fix it so it won't end up leading to something else that you're now in a cover-up mode about. If you work at a Ralph's grocery store, it's a local California store, and every shift, $20 is missing, and that's a routine. You're like, I see a pattern here. I think I'm gonna take Jeffrey off of check stand number 5 for a while till we figure out why this $20 keeps missing. They'll figure it out, trust me,
yeah.
If they're losing a little $20 of the millions they make. But if this guy has a history of being rattled or not able to handle situations, they go, we'll do a year-long review. Let them go back out there until we figure something else out. That isn't as important as losing a couple dollars.
Yeah,
and other jobs. When someone is under an open investigation that hasn't been closed yet, they're pulled off duty.
Yeah.
Like right now, the guy's off duty because of something like this. Why did it take this? I know that I would imagine that when you work a job like being a police officer, along the way, people are going to be upset with you no matter what, you know? And so there will be erroneous claims made, but like, have a way of classifying it so that we can not have someone out there when a pattern may or may not be establishing itself. But I am at least heartened by this independent investigation that they're bringing, because so often it seems like a lot of police officers have said it themselves, as well as outside watchdog groups have said, so often it's people within the same department who are investigating people they work with on a daily basis,
right.
Whether it's the local law enforcement officials or the district attorney. And it is nice to hear that the chief of police is bringing in someone else to conduct an independent investigation. But so often I also hear the investigation happened. It seems like 6 or 7 months have passed since this was in the news, and mm-hmm. we'll try to slip it in on a Friday that nothing is going to come of this.
Yeah,
and I hope
we see that happen far too often. Well, we do have another case involving a cop that should give you a little bit of hope because of what I consider to be an unusual outcome so far. Back in April of this year, a 15-year-old by the name of Jordan Edwards was at a house party with friends. Now, cops were called to that house party, and he and his friends decided to get into the car and drive away so they don't get into any trouble, I'm guessing. And while they were driving away, a cop by the name of Roy D. Oliver II decided to open fire into that vehicle, which led to the shooting death of 15-year-old Jordan Edwards. Now, when Oliver released a statement in regard to what happened that night, he claimed that the car was driving in his direction, which put him in imminent harm. However, surveillance indicated that that is not what happened. The car was driving away from him when he decided to open fire. Now, here is the interesting update to this story, and it is a unique update because we don't hear this happen often. The former police officer in this Dallas suburb was indicted by a grand jury on a murder charge for fatally shooting an unarmed black high school freshman in April with a high-powered rifle as the teenager and four others drove away from a house party. He's also indicted on 4 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon by a public servant. And if you think those charges are in connection to what happened to Jordan Edwards, you would be wrong. That actually has to do with a separate incident where he was off duty in plain clothes and happened to get into a car accident and allegedly threatened the person that he got into an accident with his weapon. So he's facing charges for that as well. Now, if convicted of murder, Mr. Oliver, who's 37 years old, could face a prison term of 5 to 99 years or life, the same charge, the same range as the aggravated assault charges.
5 to 99 years. It's a small window.
I know, it's really weird
how
there's that huge disparity there.
I don't know what it's like there. I know in California, it's like they do it in tiers. So mm-hmm. they'll be like, the judge will make a recommendation to say like, this is the lower tier, middle tier, and higher tier of sentencing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, come on, was my reaction. This guy, we monitor so much in this country. Mm-hmm. We monitor the behavior of people online. Things get flagged, you get put on lists. This guy allegedly got in an accident and pulled out his gun mm-hmm. on someone before this happened, while he was off duty.
That's right.
That's a red flag.
You know, it's interesting because
right?
I think about the double standard that every single person who's not a cop has to deal with. And I think it's a double standard that makes sense. So for instance,
strike one.
Jake and I are close, right? And I feel like I can argue with him and I can say whatever I need to say and I don't have to worry about retaliation. However, if news broke that I pulled out a gun on someone that I had gotten into an accident with, pretty sure Jake would really consider or reconsider my position here at TYT, right? Because it doesn't seem like I have, you know, I'm in the right mental state to do my job. But for some reason with cops, it's like, oh, pulled a gun? I mean, did she piss you off though?
Yeah.
You know, it's absurd. These are people who are given the title of protecting and serving. And you don't protect and serve by losing your temper at the scene of an accident and threatening someone's life with a gun, allegedly.
Yeah, and I mean, guy was in Iraq. I don't know what's happening, if he had some kind of traumatic event while he was there. Let's figure it out and then communicate what we figured out to all of us.
Yeah.
So I can then see stories like this and they say, this off-duty police officer is undergoing counseling, or I don't see something like this. Or when I see if I see a story that says, was it an accident, pulled a gun on someone, then that person was put into counseling, taken off the beat, fired from his job. You know, isn't allowed to just like have a gun because he seems to pull it on people when he gets in an accident with him. Stop it there at worst. Don't let it keep going. Don't let the instinct be, well, you know, he's one of us. You got a gun. It's different for him. I don't want this third time because the third time's a harm.
Right.
Third time's when he pulls a gun, not just any gun, an AR-15, and just starts shooting.
At a car that's driving away from him.
With perceived impunity.
It's crazy.
I don't like it, and it's tough. Let's figure it out. I'm not saying he's evil. Maybe he went through some stuff. But let's at least just figure it out.
Right. All right, we got to take our first break. Tweet to us using the hashtag TYTLive. And when we come back, an update on the R. Kelly story that we reported on earlier. A woman has spoken out in regard to the accusations that he has held women captive as sex slaves. And then later on, conservatives in Hawaii are a little salty about a new law. I'm going to tell you what that law is. And then later, some interesting news regarding student loan debt. Come right back. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. All right, I want to do some member what?
I just what we were talking about a second ago. You guys will never know. We might mention in the post game.
Yeah, sometimes we do tell you what we talk about in the. We talk about drinking breast milk.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Possibly having babies during the break. But you got to be a member to get the deets. You know what I'm saying? TYTnetwork.com/join. Okay, member shout outs because you guys are the best. Stravros Paterakis is one of our members, and you are the backbone of TYT. Like, without you guys, I would be concerned because we wouldn't be able to function or operate or do anything that we're doing now. Also, Bill Jameson, thank you so much for supporting us and keeping us independent. Here are some TYT live tweets. The great Derp says, so now cops don't even need to be scared of the person in question. Now they can just shoot because they're scared by a loud noise. Mm-hmm. I think what I worry about is that it's going to work with some jurors. If this, you know.
Does it go to a jury, you know?
If it goes to a grand jury. Because all cops really have to say, and I'm not just saying this. It's based on, you know, a pattern that we've all noticed. I feared for my life. Oh, you feared for your life. Okay, well then in that case, you can shoot and kill anyone.
It's just such a sad story. They're just such sad stories. That was, you know, the thing. When I first saw these as the ones we were covering, I just thought, I had that initial shock where it's like, these are so terrible. I don't know what I'm going to say about them. Then you do some research and there's some silver linings to how it's being handled that doesn't undo the tragedy of the original event. But then you really have to find ways. And that's what this show, I think, is all about, is finding ways to make change, to hold people accountable for bad actions. And that's where I get my solace.
Yep.
Cops can fear for their lives while they're doing their job fine. But civilians, if they go, well, the cops ran by, I was kind of scared. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? The cops are there to protect you.
Right.
Why can't I fear for my life? You get to, but I don't get to. I'm being irrational. But
yeah,
you just get to say it, and just it's fine.
Charles W. Drew some interesting parallels that I want to share with you guys. He says, it's funny how similar the behavior of police departments over these cops are to the Catholic Church on sexual abuse. Ignore it. Cover it up, brush it under the rug. You're right. And I think the Catholic Church lost a lot of believers because of the way that they handled those rape cases, you know? And anyway, all right, let's move on to other news. I know it's all depressing and devastating. Earlier this week, there was an explosive piece written in BuzzFeed in regard to R. Kelly and how parents have alleged or accused him of holding young women captive as sex slaves. Now, one of the women who is allegedly held captive is Jocelyn Savage, and she released a video claiming that, no, my parents are overreacting. I'm here because I want to be here. Now, whether or not she's telling the truth is up in the air. It's something that a lot of people are questioning, but I do want to show you two parts of the video so you can judge for yourself. Here is the first portion of that video.
That I'm in a happy place with my life and I'm not being brainwashed or anything like that. You know, it just came to a point where it definitely has gotten out of hand. So, you know, I just want everybody to know, my parents and everybody in the world, that I am totally fine. I'm happy where I'm at and everything is okay with me.
So you are not being held against your will or doing anything that you do not want to do?
Oh, no, not at all. Never been feeling hostage or anything like that in that nature. Never.
So the accusations included that R. Kelly would take their cell phones away and give them a different cell phone that they could only use with permission from R. Kelly. There were also accusations that they had to dress a certain way and, you know, turn their backs to men in the room so the men don't check them out. Just, you know, manipulation and control. And the thing that makes these cases or these accusations extremely difficult is these women are of age, they're not minors, and if they're saying that they're there because they want to be there, because there's consent, then authorities can't do anything about it. But R. Kelly has had a pretty dark history involving women, including having to stand trial after a video was, I was going to say leaked, which is not a pun.
Why is it a pun? Why would it be a pun?
Because in the video, he was seen urinating on a 14-year-old girl that he was engaging in sex acts with. I don't know how he got away with that case, but he got away with that case.
It had something to do with like the process by which the video was made available.
It was a technicality, yeah. So there's that. There's the fact that he married singer Aaliyah when she was like 15 years old, right? And that marriage was annulled.
Then released Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
That's right. And so look, again, this is a difficult case because if the women say that they're there and it's consensual, it's cops can't really do anything about it. Investigators can't do anything about it. But whether or not you believe what she's saying, I mean, that's up to you and your interpretation.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Yeah. You saw a clip of the video. Later on in that video, they ask, so where are you?
Okay, we have that video.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Okay, good. That's the part. But before that, she also says, I'm 21, I'll be 22 in 5 days, so I'm mature. If you're talking about how you're gonna be a different age in a certain amount of days, you're not as mature as you think you are. Like, that's I'm 7 3/4 kind of talk.
Oh, man.
You know?
Seven I would going almost on eight. Give anything to go back to 22 and be as immature as I was back then.
Yeah.
Those were good times. But the part of the video that I think was telling is what you're about to see. So take a look at that. And by the way, for those of you who might wonder who's asking the questions, it's someone from TMZ. They had access to this interview and were able to ask these questions. Take a look.
Are you currently in Georgia or where are you?
I wouldn't want to speak on that as well.
Are you with other roommates? Are you free to go from where you are?
No, I want to speak on that as well.
Okay.
So yes, those are that's what red flags look like. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like I never felt like I was being held hostage. Okay, can you leave the house? I can't speak on like. It is the fact that she does not answer that like a person and then doesn't even know in which way she's allowed to not answer that question. That is so troubling.
Right.
What city she's in. And part of that might be because in the original reporting from BuzzFeed and later by Rolling Stone and Variety, they outlined the different possible locations where people might be located, including his rentals in Atlanta. He also has a Trump Tower location. And they have outlined who's where. Mm-hmm. Now, regardless of if she thinks that she is an active participant in this and if she is okay, but I mean, the allegations are that there's like a 35-year-old woman who teaches these 19-year-olds how to have sex with him. Mm-hmm. It's strange. Now, I'm fine. Like, There's a lot to unpack. Mm-hmm. But I think you can focus, if you want to focus on the things that are like, that is a giant red flag that leads me to not believe that these are consenting adults the way they assert they are in certain tiny chunks. It's red flags like this when she says, I can't say where I am.
And it's frustrating because there's really nothing that can be done if they're making statements saying that they're there because they want to be there.
Like, it's weird that like ideally, I hope they're all consenting 19 through 20-year-olds who are having like the weirdest pee sex. Mm-hmm. It's a weird world where I'm like, that's the best case scenario. They're peeing on each other and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Sure. But I just can't believe that. And then there's other allegations over time, like the people who are filmed having sex with R. Kelly don't know they're being filmed. Now that's illegal. That's the stuff where I'm like, you broke a law. You just don't live a, it's not just that you're living in a sexually eccentric lifestyle. Like, I would be all in support of that, I guess, theoretically, go for it, but man.
Yeah. All right, well, that was the update. I want to move on to some policy news. Lawmakers in Hawaii recently passed legislation that would essentially require so-called pregnancy crisis clinics to educate their clients or their patients about available reproductive health services, including access to contraception and abortion. Now, for those of you who don't know what pregnancy crisis centers are, they are essentially clinics that are not run by medical professionals, but they are made to seem as though they are abortion clinics. So if a woman gets pregnant and wants to seek an abortion, oftentimes she will be misled into thinking these pregnancy crisis clinics will provide those services. But once they walk through those doors, it turns out that these are conservative individuals posing as medical professionals who do anything and everything to dissuade the women from obtaining an abortion. And so it's an ongoing issue in various states, and state lawmakers in these states have decided that they want to do something about it. In Hawaii, they are making it mandatory that contraception and abortion information be shared with these patients. Now, conservatives are not happy about it. They feel that they're being persecuted. So the Alliance Defending Freedom has filed a lawsuit on behalf of one of these pregnancy crisis clinics known as A Place for Women, a church-operated crisis pregnancy center, and five other Hawaiian centers affiliated with the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. So they're saying, you are forcing us to spread a message that we disagree with. So our religious liberty is at stake. But again, keep in mind that they misinform women. Okay.
Yes.
They will tell them things like, if you have an abortion, it will increase your risk of breast cancer, which is completely untrue. Mm-hmm. And they will shame them and, you know, just do whatever they can to dissuade them from obtaining an abortion. Mm-hmm. And it's problematic because of how deceptive they are and how they pose as abortion clinics, and they're not.
Right. This is not a location that's like a church runs a health clinic. Already, that is a mischaracterization of these places.
Right.
This is a church runs a place that tries to get women who are thinking about abortions and get them to not have an abortion. Now, that's, I get it. If you are religious and you're fundamentally against abortion in all scenarios, I understand your desire to find women who are thinking about abortions and stop them from doing that. Now, if there's a way to do that, that is ethical, and a way that is not ethical. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a way that is extremely, terrifyingly unethical. This is a place that lies to you about the dangers of abortions. This is a place that co-locates, they call it. So what they'll do is they'll find a legitimate family clinic. And then next door, they'll put up one of these things that looks the same, smells the same, feels the same, but is not. To the point where they so sneakily have been reported to say, all right, we're going to do the pregnancy test. If you could go pee on that. And then when you come out, you hold it and wait and look to see what the result is. Because if the technician held the stick, they could get sued for pretending to be a medical doctor. Professional. Mm-hmm. So they say, this is exciting. You hold it. It's just a trap. And Google took their ads down because they did not fit the terms of service, because Google, which is just like, oh, we have terms of service and these violate them. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars a month to put these false ads in front of people who are already going through enough without having the trauma of getting lured into a place that puts out a sign. And you've maybe seen them that say pregnant, scared, pregnant, confused.
Come to us, we're going to help you. And look, women who unfortunately have an unwanted pregnancy are in a desperate place. And if they are seeking help and they're trying to find a clinic that provides abortion, and then they come across someone who's just going to shame them if they're even considering it, or use fear tactics against them, I mean, that preys on, you know, extremely vulnerable people. So I actually have a solution for this.
Bring it.
Okay.
Anna has a device to make all well.
I do. And I think this is a fair solution. So I get it. If you're conservative, you don't want to push any type of information that is scientifically factual or would help women obtain an abortion. I get it. You don't want contraception. You don't want abortions. You don't want any of that. And you don't want to spread that message. You don't want the government to force you to spread that message. So, okay, then you don't have to. Okay, under my solution, you don't have to spread that message, but you have to be incredibly clear about what your organization is. Okay, you can't mislead your patients anymore. You can't share misinformation about what abortion does. You can't pretend to be doctors. You can't pretend to be medical professionals. You can't pretend to be an abortion clinic. That's the way that I would approach it, right? As a lawmaker, okay? You're not allowed to deceive people. You have to be abundantly clear about who you are and what your intentions are. You don't have to share information about abortion, but you also can't pretend like you're an abortion clinic to lure vulnerable people in.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's a shame on you. Fie and shame. Because, yeah, there's two things. Mm-hmm. The first one to me is like, how afraid are you? Like, what we're talking about is that these abortion clinics do these fake non-abortion clinics that say they're abortion clinics. They're luring people in, and Hawaii is just saying you need to tell them that you're an actual place. You don't need to give them abortions. You do not need to tell them that the place you're telling them about, like, will make them have an abortion. You just need to say that these places exist. How afraid are you that your argument is that weak, mm-hmm. that you think the mere mention of another alternative will drive that person there to go get it. Mm-hmm. Like, what a weak, weak position.
Right.
And then you are lying to people because you think you have the moral superiority.
Right.
Like, you're trying, you think you are, you people over there are so terrible that we're gonna lie to people.
It's ridiculous.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And again, I think there is a better solution to this. And again, they just need to be clear about who they are. I would want more oversight in terms of the way they represent themselves and, you know, the way that they mislead patients. All right, moving to—
Should you have the quote, these people are so in love with abortion quote.
Do have that, yes.
This is my favorite quote. It's state-sponsored anti-life activists, according to the people making the lawsuit, are so in love with abortion that they want to suppress the free speech right. Nobody's in love with abortion. No one is. That is such a gross mischaracterization.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they genuinely think that about people who support reproductive rights. But no one, yeah, I guess they do. Yeah, there's nothing fun about an abortion. People don't like them. People don't like being put in a situation where they're pregnant with an unwanted baby. It's just not the way it works. It's not an exciting thing. It's not a fun thing, and it's not an easy decision. And you know what? For some women, it is an easy decision because they know they're not ready to have a child. They know they don't have the means to take care of a child, and that's their life and their decision to make. And if you don't like that, then you should move to one of these countries that I'm sure they criticize for violating the rights of women, right? If you like controlling the decisions of women, then move to those countries, right? Isn't that great? Where you have a bunch of randos like shaming you because you've made a decision to not have a baby that you might not have the resources to take care of.
And it would make them trust you more if you, at the beginning, your pregnancy crisis center, like, it would make the person in there trust you more if you said, listen, here's where you can go get an abortion tomorrow. Yeah. Here's a place that provides pregnancy counseling as well as pregnancy, support.
Just fucking now kick rocks. Just kick rocks. Go find something better to do.
It's rough.
They think that they're moral. They think they're moral. They think that they have that moral superiority, and it drives me absolutely nuts. You're not moral if you shame people and you misinform them about their health. Anyway, you guys should see the movie Magdalene Sisters. It was one of the best movies I've seen. Saw it years ago, and it takes place in Ireland where, these young girls aren't, religious enough, and so they're actually persecuted in these ridiculous, like, Catholic boarding school things. Anyway, it's based on a true story. It's awesome. Those are the people who think they're moral. That's the amazing thing. Torturing and making people miserable because, their fairy tales say that that's the right thing to do. Okay, let's move on. Okay. I'm trying to hold back.
You're doing a great job.
Like, you want to get involved in what's going on in my body. Really? You want to get involved in what's going on in my body?
Not
like,
now.
I wish they would. Like, I wish that I found myself in a situation. No, I don't wish that I found myself in a situation where I need an abortion. But I wish I found myself in some sort of encounter with one of these people who has the audacity to tell me what I can and can't do with my body. Right? And to shame me. Oh, my God.
I'm not even a person who would do that. But I'm afraid of being in that hypothetical situation near you. Because you would, I'm afraid I'd be like collateral damage. And it would take him down.
All right, yeah. You think I'm gonna put my health in jeopardy? You're actually putting your health in jeopardy. Like, don't you, anyway. All right, let's move on. I don't condone violence. A trans woman decided to troll Texas Governor Greg Abbott by taking a photo with him. Not doing anything disruptive, but after he'd had a speech where he announced that he would run for another term as the governor, she decided to approach him and take a friendly photo. And then she proceeded to post that photo online with an awesome caption. Now, Ashley Smith is her name. And the caption to her photo, which let's put up so you kind of see what it looks like. The caption to that photo said the following. How will the potty police know I'm transgender if the governor doesn't? Hashtag bathroom buddy.
So good.
And I love that because it's so true. And it also highlights an issue that I think we don't really discuss enough when it comes to these transgender bathroom bills. Those bills disproportionately impact transgender individuals from the lowest socioeconomic status. People who don't have the resources to have gender reassignment surgery or to have procedures done to help them appear as the gender that they identify as. And so you look at her, Ashley Smith, and she's obviously gorgeous, right? And you can't tell that she was not born a woman. And so she's gonna be fine if she goes to a women's bathroom and uses a women's bathroom. No one's gonna question it. However, if you are from a poor background and you don't have the same resources that she had, well, what do?
If you just aren't, nothing. I just don't understand. I've never understood the instinct to give a damn about who else is using that bathroom.
I know. I don't even.
I never get it. Like, I've seen it. I was in a airport and a trans woman was walking into the women's bathroom and like did not look as like feminine, I guess, or whatever we're trying to articulate as Ashley here, and I was like. Fucking go do that.
Right.
You go.
Well,
because like she was like had was like it was like listen, what you've been through to get to the point where you are as confident as you are walking into that bathroom.
Right.
Like, just go pee. I'm not gonna tell people to hold it. What am I, like a third grade teacher?
I have many things to say about this. First of all, anyone who dilly-dallies in a public bathroom is strange to me, and I feel like there are people who do that, right? Like, especially on a plane or something. It's disgusting. Why are you taking your time? Like, I can't wait to get out of there, right?
Just because it's gross in those places.
It's gross.
There's pee-pee everywhere.
And we're talking about public bathrooms right now, right? So, these bills would force transgender people to use the bathroom that, they were born with the gender that they were born with. Okay. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone in the bathroom. I don't interact with anyone in the bathroom. I'm in, I'm out. That's what usually happens, right?
Oh, I thought, well.
And so these like fear tactics about like, oh, they're gonna sexually assault people. No, they're not. In fact, if you are a trans woman who's now forced to go into the men's room, there's a higher likelihood that you could face some retaliation there. Okay, so if you genuinely care about protecting people, then you should understand that this type of legislation is ridiculous.
Also, anything you would be afraid of happening in one of those bathrooms is still illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
They're rooted in sensational rhetoric about trans people attacking people in gendered spaces. Mm-hmm. Listen, trans or cisgendered or whatever you want to label it, attacking people in gendered spaces, no matter who you are, is still illegal.
Exactly.
And it does, and so that can still be prosecuted. So what are you afraid of? All the actions you're afraid of are still illegal.
I don't even think they're afraid of what they claim they're afraid of. This is all about, you know, creating a system where it's totally okay to hate on individuals that you're ignorant about, that you're, you know, hateful toward. Just live and let live. Whatever happened to that?
Even right? Donald Trump said to Caitlyn Jenner, use whatever toilet you want.
You know what the Republican Party is like? They're like the HOA. Right?
The homeowners association?
They're like up in your business all the time. Like, are you tiling your floors? Are you using the right bathroom? Are you peeing the right way? Just shut up. Get out of my business. It's none of your business. It's none of your business. Live your life. It's like they have so much time on their hands to like think about these nonsense issues, right? And make life miserable for people. Just focus on your own life and focus on doing what you were elected to do, which is representing the best interests of the people. Because let me tell you something. I'm sure there are people that are hurting economically in Texas. So why don't you focus on that, Greg Abbott? Instead of focusing on which bathrooms people should use.
I'm always looking for people's motivations behind doing stuff. And a lot of times, the ignorance leads to the fear, and the fear is the hate, and the hate leads to violence, all this stuff. Which is why I loved this whole thing that happened with Mr. Ashley. It shows that, oh, you're not uncomfortable when you don't know. Mm-hmm. So their discomfort comes, oh my God, I'm so transphobic, that person touched me. And he doesn't even realize it, so suddenly he's smiling all big.
Yeah.
So he's fine. Nothing rubbed off on him. He's not going to become a trans woman now because of someone that touched him. So as soon as they figure all this out and they're no longer worried about it, then maybe their brains have to reset first. It's a fear. It's all fear-based.
And
it's,
I think they're a little afraid that they're like, that like he said, oh, who's that hot chick who's about to come take a photo with me?
She's really beautiful.
She's real good looking.
Yeah, she is. All right, guys, unfortunately, we're out of time. But we will have a members-only post-game show for you. So if you're a member, check it out. If you're not a member, we have a month of free membership, tytnetwork.com/join. And also TYT Classics tonight, the great return of TYT Classics.
What?
Make sure you check that out. JR and Brett will be here with me doing these awesome members-only shows. So for everyone else, have an awesome night. We love you, and we'll see you tomorrow.